actually, the youth ministry part's just getting started. I have twin girls in sixth grade and boy in seventh grade and son going at fourth and second. And if I got it wrong, then there's a lot of them. I get it mixed up. But for the last 14 years, I've been working with youth. I've been working with them in churches, the Boys and Girls Club, in a lot of different ways. And so when Melissa asked if I'd be willing to come and speak, I was really excited for this opportunity. Graduation is a big deal. It's one of those few moments in life where you have a set date to say, I was a child, and then I was an adult. There was a before, and then there's an after. It's a time that you can look forward to and know that a section of your life is about to begin. But it's also a time to remember that you're a part of this bigger story that includes amazing young men and women, and to be able to use their stories to inspire hope. Because as great as this moment is, it is just the beginning. You still have an amazing future that is set out before you. My father was a Southern Baptist minister. I was born on one Sunday, and I was in church the next Sunday, and I don't think I was allowed to miss more than two until I got to college. And so I heard a lot of graduation sermons in my life. And regardless of whatever scripture was used, the message that I always heard was that God is amazing and has amazing plans for you, and that you are going to change the world. Today's passage says that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Confidence and assurance. These are words that people love to cling to and hold up at moments like this. And to prove their point, the author of Hebrews gave us this list of people to remind us of the plans that God has laid out for us. It starts off with Abel, who's the first guy to actually get something right in the Bible. Adam and Eve showed us that God loves us simply because they were created in his image. But even after they were kicked out of Eden, God still loved and provided for them. But Abel was the first person who actually did something to make God proud. Cain gave some of the good stuff that he had, but Abel gave from the very best, and God honored that and told Abel how proud he was. And the author of Hebrews reminds us that we too can do great things to make God proud, even to this day. Then there was Enoch, the man who was so good and well-behaved that God just decided not to let him die. And his life reminds us that we too can accomplish miraculous things if we believe in God and stay true to our faith. Noah was a guy that built a boat in the middle of a desert. And while doing this, he kept telling people that there would be this big flood, but they didn't believe him. But he never stopped trying. And he and his family were spared, and so all of humanity was spared in that process, reminding us that if we continue to speak truth, we can save the world. Abraham was called to give up his family and home and wander to a new land. He stayed faithful even after he was too old for most people to think that he was good for much. Sarah was also way past the age where anybody thought she could contribute much of anything to the world. Yet they gave birth to a child that eventually grew to an entire nation, reminding us that it's never too late to do the right thing and change the world. When he finally had that first kid, Abraham almost sacrificed him, reminding us that faith in God can enable miracles, even to the point of raising dead, or the almost dead. Isaac had two sons and blessed both of them, which doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but back then, everybody thought God only blessed the firstborn son. I'm the firstborn, and I think it was a good idea. We had it a lot harder than our younger siblings. But now I have five kids, and I have to count to make sure they have the same number of goldfish every day for snack. I can see why it was a good thing to decide that everybody gets a little bit. And also to remind us that God doesn't play favorites, and that his blessings are for the entire world. Then there was Jacob, who blessed his grandchildren. Jacob had a ton to offer. He was wealthy, he had money, he had houses, he had fame, but he decided to bless his grandchildren with the name of God, reminding us that God is worth more than anything else and will always be enough. Moses' parents put their baby in a river and watched as he just floated on downstream because they truly believed that God created him for something special. And their faith in God was more powerful than their fear of Pharaoh. Then that baby grew up to be a deliverer of people. And he took an enslaved people and led them to freedom, reminding us that there is always hope, no matter how messed up the world may seem around us. He also taught us that systems and governments can fall because of people who have faith in something bigger. We're reminded that by faith, Rahab was saved because she saw the image of God in a stranger, reminding us that God always exists in others. Or maybe it would be better to say that she reminds us there are no others. There's just fellow brothers and sisters who are created in the image of God. And then to finish up, the author mentions judges and kings and prophets and priests and martyrs who were mocked and killed and tortured, all because of their faith, and that all of them did amazing things because they had confidence in their God and assurance that even in the tough times, God was still in control. And that's a sermon I heard countless times growing up. Every year we had a pastor remind everyone about these heroes who did amazing things and how great the future was for everyone in the room, and how each of us were able to change the world. I remember being 18, and graduating, and hearing that sermon directed to me. And then again at 22, and again at 26. And each time I was completely inspired and ready to go just completely change the world for the better. And then when I was 19, I was 23, and 26, I always felt like a failure. To be honest, in 2 months, I'm turning 40, and when I first read these words, I didn't find them inspiring. I kind of found it depressing. I have a degree in elementary education, but I have never worked in school. I have a master's in divinity, but I don't work in a church. I haven't changed the world that I'm aware of. I haven't done anything that's really mighty or inspiring. I've bounced from jobs about every 3 or 4 years, and I have a lot of kids I take care of right now, which is cool, but it's also kind of boring. This passage that was meant to inspire a lot of confidence and assurance ended up filling me with doubt and despair, because it's great, those people are awesome, but when I look at my own life, I don't see it. So I decided, instead of giving the rah-rah sermon that I grew up with for 40 years, that I would ask people who might actually be helpful. I decided to reach out to a lot of my former youth, and some are still in high school, and some are in college, and some have recently graduated, and I just asked of everything that you ever heard in church, what actually helped? Or if none of it did, I failed you, I'm sorry. But what do you wish that I had said at some point that would have actually been helpful? And I'm glad I asked, because what they said was better than anything that I would have come up with. There's this one guy who has just recently graduated high school. I was able to walk with him while he was struggling with his own sexuality. And where he landed in that is nothing to do with this story, but what is relevant is that because of that struggle, it led him to attempt suicide on several occasions. And he said that the one thing that saved his life, literally, was being reminded that he was created in the image of God. He told me to tell you today not to worry about living up to what society expects of you, but to be authentically yourself, because you are holy and worthy of all the good that God created in this world.
Amen.
And it's okay to just be you. Another lady is a junior at a college that you're about to go to. She's one of very few girls in a program that is dominated by men. She's an athlete whose coach is a man. Most of her professors are men. Most of her classmates are men. And she struggles to be able to find her voice in a world that seems like she might be the only girl in the room. And she said that the best advice she ever got was from her mom on a bracelet that is on her wrist. Her mom gave her this bracelet while she was still in high school that just had the word worthy on it. She says she's never taken it off because she needs that reminder regularly. She needs to be reminded that she is worthy to be at a fantastic college, that she is worthy of speaking up for herself, worthy of telling the men in her program that sometimes they're wrong, worthy of fighting for all the things that are given so easily to those around her. She is worthy of respect and love and honor and laughter and fun and promotions and knowledge and money and degrees and all the stuff that she feels like she has to fight for every single day. And she said to remind all of you that no matter what anyone says or how they make you feel, always remember you are worthy. One of my favorite youth ever responded. He's a senior in college, getting ready to do a semester abroad and then come home and figure out what's next. He was the star quarterback in high school and dated the captain of the cheerleading squad. His parents were loaded. He was in all honors classes. He has almost a 4.0 in college. He's just one of the most impressive men I've met, regardless of age, and he's just turned 21. He told me that he wished someone had told him that he didn't have to have it all figured out and put together before he graduated college. He had this idea that college was the time that you find out who you are and what you're supposed to do and what's going on with your life. But recently, his dad just retired. And at 65, he's trying to figure out what to do with his life now that he's not what he has always been. And it dawned on him that if his 65-year-old dad, who seems to have it all together, hasn't figured out who he is or what he believes or what he's supposed to do with life, then maybe he doesn't have to have it figured out at 21. He had put all this pressure on himself to do all the things and learn all the things, and he ended up fighting depression this year because he was sure that he was being left behind and failing God and failing at life. At his graduation, he heard a sermon about confidence and assurance, and it made him certain that he had lost his faith. And he's still not always certain about his faith, but he sincerely hopes that others don't get this false idea that their lives have this path that has to be figured out right now. Because he's just now, as a senior, figuring out that his life is fine without a 5-year or 10-year or 20-year plan. He said it's okay to not have it figured out now or next year or when you graduate or even when you retire. He said to remind you to enjoy where you are and not rush it, because you're exactly where you're supposed to be. I have to admit, I had no idea what they were going to tell me, and when they told me this, I was like, I have no idea what this has to do with Hebrews, but the secretary went on vacation a week ago, and I was had to give her a verse I wanted to do, so I was stuck. Now I had advice, and I had Hebrews, and I'm not sure what to do with this. So I read the verses again. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance for what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And I thought back to my first graduation when I was 18, dreaming of running a camp for orphans. That didn't happen. But I ended up adopting four kids who have filled my life in ways that I never would have imagined or chosen. And I thought back to my second graduation when I was 21 and thinking about how I wanted to be an elementary school teacher and change the world one kid at a time. And instead, I ended up working with teenagers and college kids and helping them to be mentors and helping out more kids in ways that fit me better than if I'd ever been in a classroom. And I thought about my last graduation when I was 25, straight out of seminary, and absolutely certain that I was going to follow in my daddy's footsteps. And I was going to work in churches and that I was going to help people find God in those walls forever. And then my faith shifted and I found out that God existed outside the church that I'd always grown up in. And I ended up having conversations about God when I went to pool halls and when I went to pride festivals and at elementary schools and at the Boys and Girls Club and in backyards around fires and actually in the occasional Sunday service as well. And I realized that nothing I had confidence and assurance in was what ended up defining my faith. And that made me wonder if I was alone. And I came back to these heroes that the author of Hebrews mentioned. The name Abel can also be translated as nothing. He was a complete afterthought throughout the entire story. They would have a little spot on Abel and a big spot on Cain. And Cain was the one who got all the coverage. And Abel was simply the guy who did better. He didn't need the recognition. He just did what he was supposed to. And then ended up killed for it. Enoch was the guy who never died. And I was always told that it was because he was so great that God simply took him to heaven. But when I was reading some of the commentaries, some say that perhaps it wasn't that he was amazing, but he was just a little better than the rest, and the rest of the world was so bad, God gave him up before he was corrupted by it. We don't really know. But what we know is that he tried his best, and God honored that. Noah was righteous in the beginning, and he built the ark, and he saved his family, and after the ark landed, there's a story that is not often shared in church. And I'm not going to share it right now, but let's just say he planted a vineyard and then partook of the vineyard in a way that gets a lot of college frat party people in trouble. I'm not taking away from how amazing he was, but he had a moment of weakness which did not discredit him in the least, and he still was considered a man of faith. Abraham was mentioned for his faith, but he did not wait for Isaac. He got a little impatient and thought it would be better to have a kid with someone beside his wife. And God blessed Hagar and Ishmael. But that seems like a pretty big lapse of faith for someone mentioned for having great faith. And then there's later disagreement because some people think that he absolutely heard the voice of God, and some people think he just thought he heard the voice of God and was doing what everybody else was doing in that world when he was sacrificing Isaac. But what's important is that he got it right in the end. Rahab was one of my favorites, because what's fantastic about her story is that in those days, immigrants and foreigners were not looked on very fondly. And yet she was continually named as one of the forebearers of Jesus, and part of what connected him to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. She was a woman, a prostitute, an illegal alien. And yet, she is one of those who was always mentioned in the line of Jesus. And I mention all of these because none of them seem to follow the traditional path that was put before them. They all made mistakes. They all took chances. And sometimes they got it right, but a lot of times they didn't. They were still called people of faith. And I think it's because every single one of them heard this voice telling them, "I love you just as you are. Just as I created you. As Melissa said so much more eloquently than I'm going to be able to, God formed you in the womb and was there giving you breath that first day and has always been with you. And they knew that. I always imagined growing up that these were heroes of our faith that were superhumans and never made mistakes and just got it right. And that's what I was supposed to try to be, and that's how I was going to change the world, by being awesome like them and being perfect like them. But today I find that it's in their humanity and mistakes that I really identify with them. If faith is confidence and assurance, it's not my confidence and assurance in myself that I trust, but my confidence and assurance that if a God can use such remarkably unimpressive people as this in the past, then maybe there's a chance for me. If God can use drunkards and prostitutes and liars and cheats, if God can use people who denied the existence of the divine, people who murdered and pillaged, and using a middle-aged stay-at-home dad doesn't seem like that big of a stretch. And being able to use a young person whose life is completely in front of them is absolutely possible. I read these stories and I can hear this great cloud of witnesses gathered around practically screaming that they are so excited for you. And they're not excited because you are going to be the next Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Paul, or Rahab, or Mary, or Martha. They're excited because in the entire existence of this planet, there has never been another you. And you have so much potential in you. You may hear these stories and identify with the ones who figured out super early and knew your entire purpose in life and stay on that path. You may hear these stories and identify with the ones who didn't quite know but figured it out later. You may identify with the ones who made a few mistakes or the ones who made a lot of mistakes but got it right in the end. But regardless of where you find yourself, God is in your story waiting, letting you know that no matter when you figured it out, you are loved and you are. That, my friends, is the gospel in a nutshell. The inspiration of this passage isn't that you can change the world and you're a failure if you don't. It isn't that you can be confident and assured of the huge ways that you're going to change the world for God. It's that you can be confident and assured that you are already amazing and beautiful. You are already unique and purposefully created and loved. And because you know that, the world has already been changed for the better. Go and keep